Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy and remain the key to fueling our nation's growth. Our very own Mark Haney is on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown we love. He is the ultimate small business coach, sounding board, and storyteller. But to us, he's still good old Marky from down on the block. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome to The Mark Haney Show. Marcus Haney, how are you doing today, buddy?
I am fantastic. Was that your Joker laugh? Or
well, you know what? This is my sinister, crazy, entrepreneurial laugh. I tried it out on your mother this morning.
And I want to hear
failed.
The rest.
Yeah, it was not good. She did not like it, but I decided to practice it on the show. You know, entrepreneurs are crazy. We have the craziest dreams. We put out the craziest long hours. And, you know, we sometimes end up with the craziest of lifestyles. It is not easy. You know, a lot of us dream about changing the world and maybe helping our family and creating a lifestyle that really fits the dreams that we had as little kids, right? Maybe it's the big house with the circular driveway with a hot wife. Well, I got all that, Marcus. I got all that when I was about 35, and now I had to recalibrate. Now, how about you? 30 years old, Marcus Haney, big dreams, crazy dreams. What's going on crazy in the world of the marine entrepreneur?
Oh, man, tough question, big question. You know, I think that we're doing something great here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and everything that's going on around here, including my industrial supply business, which is plugged into the back end of Haney Biz, which has afforded me some incredible opportunities. You know, I'm just trying to fill the shoes that you created for me here. So
they're like a size 4.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a few more years to catch up to them boots that you filled. So I look forward to making your feet look small.
Well, it makes me think about entrepreneurship, where we start off with these crazy dreams, and then you get into it, and it's hard, and it's just about putting food on the table for our family, and then you dream about having a little bit better lifestyle, right? Having something a little bit better than what maybe you had it as a kid, or a little bit better than you had it as a younger person. And then as you get a little bit more seasoned, you begin to think more about legacy and what it means long term for your family, for your friends, and for our community. And it's that it's sort of that challenge. We all want the toys, right? He who dies with the most toys doesn't necessarily win, though. Am I right?
I would definitely agree with that. You know, I would like to switch that back to ask you. You've had a pretty significant exit where you had the ability to kind of do whatever you wanted. What is legacy look like for you? Because was that a lifestyle choice to sell your business, a legacy? Where do you put yourself in that category?
I've been making lifestyle choices for my entire life. I think I still am. But I think there is a progression where you have the house, you got the driveway, you got the hot wife, you got everything you need.
Great kids.
I did have the goal to be a professional football player as well, but there's only one problem.
You're huge.
Yeah, it was my athletic ability. It got me every time, but it's still, you have these big dreams, and then you sort of end up settling for the gifts God gave you, and you got to go out and just kind of earn it, I guess, and that's what entrepreneurship was and is for me. But I think I began looking at that differently in my mid-30s. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. I began to look more at opportunity, right? As I began to see my teammates seize opportunity. If a business grows, if an entrepreneur is able to grow his or her business, opportunity is all around. It may be the opportunity to jump into a luxury automobile like you can get over at Audi Rockland.
Yes.
It may be the opportunity to buy their first house. It may be the opportunity to become one of your business partners. And so as you see these opportunities emerge while you are growing your business, it's very rewarding. And I found, I think probably about the time I got the big house with a circular driveway, I started thinking about opportunity, and that was more of a legacy issue for me. When I can help a guy like you, Marcus, to grow his business, even though it might be just a little bit at the back end, it may be somebody that I'm invested in, it may be some backroom services that we provide for somebody else, but it's helping others to find their own opportunity. It might be one of our teammates around here buying their first house. That, to me, probably is as important today as me buying the next toy. I mean, we've got two Audi Rockland or Audi
Rockland
Audis from Rockland Audi or Audi of Rockland. So, you know, those things begin to happen. And once you've got that stuff, it's time to move on and think about other people's opportunities. And that's what we're going to do today.
Definitely.
On the show. That's what we're doing. We're going to bring on three people who are going to talk about sort of that that difference between focusing on legacy and focusing on our lifestyle, because I think there is that dichotomy. Where should we put our emphasis?
Or can you do both?
Yeah, maybe you can. Coming up later in the show, we are going to meet Luke Smith. He is the general manager of Audi Rockland. They are the fastest growing luxury automobile dealership in the region. And then we also have Eddie Medeiros and Steve Jackson. Eddie is the newest member of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento. He is also partners with Steve Jackson in the Boathouse. They're a boat dealership for previously used boats right here in the region. Coming up after the break, we will meet Fred Penny, investor, attorney, and syndicated radio talk show host. The man does it all. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of California Growth Advisors. This is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the place where our crazy dreams seem just a little less crazy. Mark Haney is our chief dreaming officer. He knows the right people, the right tactics, and the right philosophies to win. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm joined by Fred Penny. He is a man that does it all. What do you do, Fred? I mean, I started to describe what you do, and it's a lot of stuff.
I do stuff that my wife says I do too much.
Aha.
She said to me the other day, what about my dream? I was like, ooh, because I do too much. I have a radio show, a syndicated radio show, 9 to noon every Saturday Pacific time.
Oh, we're competitors. Oh, no.
No, 9 to noon. But see, okay. I'm in Dallas. I'm in Minneapolis. Okay. We're in Nevada. Chicago's picking up. Guess who just picked us up, Mark? We just got picked up by the Armed Forces Radio Network worldwide. It just happened this week. Thank you. We love you, Armed Forces Radio Network. Mark Haney, maybe they can pick you up.
Oh, that'd
be
great.
This would be phenomenal. And it's cool because they show what they we're live. Well, we're live 9 to noon, but they have us on Wednesdays, 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. And they're like, why do you want to be that? Because in Afghanistan, they can listen to us.
Yeah.
In Germany. And then we're 1 to 4 p.m., all Eastern time. So
nice.
Our first show was aired this past Wednesday, and our Twitter blew up, and it went great. We're excited.
All right, so Fred Penny, your wife, you and I are about the same age, mm-hmm. married for a lot of years. So you're chasing your dreams, continuing. You've had so much success, and your wife is starting to give you a little hard time about that?
Yeah, well, she said, well, what do we do? My law firm, I got lucky, and I have a successful firm. We're 6 offices in California, and then Penny Galbraith Elder Brannan is the national firm. We're in 46 states.
Wow.
So it's a big firm. We're very busy. My partner, Rob Brannan, travels all over the United States. I think he's in Nebraska this week, but he handles a lot of the national firm. But then I've always wanted to do radio. I'm like you, we're nuts. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have enough. Everything's good in life,
yeah.
But I have to do radio. So I thought, okay, how do I get my name out more? And instead of, you know, buying a radio ad, I said, I'm just going to buy the station.
Yeah, that's incredible. All right, so what happened? So a guy who has achieved so much in life, we'll talk about that.
Right.
What prompted you just, like, go buy a station or a series of stations?
Yeah. And by the way, I think I'm 14 stations now.
Wow.
So I just said,
will you adopt me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can come in. I'm trying to figure a way, Mark, to lead legal issues into have you on my show, but I don't know how to tie you in with legal issues.
Well, I cannot confirm or deny some of the illegal things that I have done. Maybe I can come in there and talk about what it's like on the other side of the law.
That's exactly right. Okay. Or if you're in jail, let me know. We'll interview you. Okay.
I like it.
But so I decided to start buying radio stations, and I did that. And then I've invested. My latest investment is in USA Radio Network, which I believe is the 3rd or 4th largest radio network in the United States that does the news. It's top and bottom of the hour news, and they do shows. They have the Wells Report and stuff like that. So, but the reason I like it is, guess who? guess who is now the legal analyst nationwide on USA Radio Network? Oh,
Fred Penny.
No, I got someone else. No, no, it is me. It is me. I got
guesser.
Me.
I am such me. A good guesser.
So I said, you know, and in fact, this morning I was on about Collins apparently is having issues with insider trading, which is one of the congressmen, and they call me and they said, the producer says, you're on in a half hour. Can you talk about it?
Yeah.
And it's really hard, Mark, because I got to study up.
Yeah,
I gotta,
it's like, who's Collins, right? Yeah, I thought that was like Tom Collins, some kind of mixer.
No, it's exactly. So I'm studying it up because the week before I was talking about the Manafort trial.
Wow.
So I've got to study. So I'm jamming this morning, studying, and then I'm on national news this morning. I said, oh, I got to go on Mark Haney. I got to be on the news. So it's a lot of work, and my wife's looking at me, what we're getting at, and our wives have met, Mark, and we're looking at each other, and she just says, what about the travel plans now that we're doing well in life after 33, 34 years of marriage?
Yes.
It's time to travel. And I said, well, I've got a radio show.
Okay. You and I are living the same dream. You obviously on several stations. I'm here, iHeart.
So far.
Yes. Well, I'm just getting started. I'll hang around you a little bit more and maybe I can expand. But okay, so your wife sees you dividing your time between your law practices, your radio, but you're also doing a ton of investing. Talk to us about that part of your world.
Good question. So what I've always believed in is, let me back up. When I was doing well in the law firm, I lived in a place called Rockland, California.
Yes.
Those of you who know where Rockland is. And I lived in a 1,900 square foot home. It was paid off. And the money I started making in my law practice, I started investing in companies. And all my friends were like, hey, come out and build this big house by me. I said, no. And I started buying companies up. This was 20 some odd years ago. And I bought racing companies. I've bought publishing companies. I just started buying up companies. And I truly believe that you kind of just got to suck it up for a while as an entrepreneur. Yeah. And you just buckle down and you invest your money. I try to go in as little debt as possible. I know it's hard. All people can't. But I always tell people, just take whatever you have and just live low and invest. And then start buying these small businesses. And it all started with a publishing company. Back when Yellow Pages were big, I bought into a Yellow Page company out of Oregon and California. And I did them in Spanish. And I can't say here, I don't want to say the money, but I flipped it after 6 years and did extremely well. And I sold it just before the Yellow Pages start tanking.
Yeah.
But so I do stuff like that. I buy when we just invested in two other companies recently. My wife doesn't, I don't think she knows about these. She'll find out now.
Full disclosure.
But she told me she'd divorce me if I do get any more businesses. But I just, she won't listen.
We
to
know
us.
Better than that.
Yeah. So, but well, that's, okay, that's well, kind of my philosophy.
Yeah. Well, here's the question of the day. I set it up at the beginning, you know, lifestyle or legacy. You obviously have a tremendous lifestyle, but you have this first big exit with the publishing company. How do you wrestle with the idea of how much to go out and spend on luxury items or the toys, and how much do you decide to put back into continued growth?
Exactly. Great question. As weird as it sounds, if I can't pay cash for it, and the accountants say this is the wrong way, I don't buy it. I'm sorry, Audi dealer. I bought a brand new Bentley. Oh. I drive a Bentley. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I drive a Bentley. But if I can't pay cash for it, I will not buy it.
Yeah.
So that's the legacy that I believe is important. Don't go out and spend and go in debt for a new Bentley, a new boat. Sorry, guys, a new boat. It doesn't mean you can't finance it to some degree, but don't go in deep debt over that.
Yeah.
Do the best you can to afford it.
Well, absolutely. Well, Audi Rockland, they've got cars at all ends of the spectrum. They've got the luxury. I don't think they have a Bentley priced car, but they have, you know, some of the best cars in the world. And then they have the stuff that's more on the affordable side as well. But thinking about not going into debt, right? How to be conservative. How does that tie in to your legacy? Who is that legacy for? What's the long-term effect that your philosophies are having on our world?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean you can't go, you know, finance a car. I'm not trying to say that because the Audi guy's here, but you can. But just don't overdo it is all I'm trying to say. So I've got children, and I know you do too. Obviously, your son was just on. Mm-hmm. And this is about my family. And you got to make sure that you have enough time for your family. But you still have to sacrifice. As bad as it sounds, I wasn't able to make all my kids' practices because I had a business to run. I wish I could have, but you can't have both. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So you got to choose one or the other. But now I'm able to go to all my grandkids' stuff and a lot of my kids' stuff that they're doing now as adults and their college education. I've got a son-in-law that plays football in college. I fly around and follow him.
Yeah.
So there's things you can do, but there's sacrifice both ends.
Earn your vacation.
That's exactly right. right. That's exactly right. But it's about the kids. My family, my young boys are taking over the law practice. My partners are taking over the law practice. It's about building for others, and that's why I do it. I'm sick. There's something wrong with me. I should retire, but there's something wrong with
okay,
me.
Okay, so your wife wants to travel. My wife is exactly the same way. I know that she's listening, so this is kind of funny that we both have the same situation, mm-hmm. where I am super happy in my normal life, right? I walk 6 steps, and I'm doing my radio show. Another 10 steps, and I've got all my businesses around me here at our offices. But like, how do you figure out a way to divide your time, right? These things are interesting issues, right? The allocation of resources is ties directly to the success of your efforts.
Yeah, it's all about people. Mark, it's people. I hire the best people. We have a restaurant chain that we have. And the restaurant chain, by the way, restaurant business is not a good business. Ah, I mean, statistically.
Right.
But I have the best, a guy named Reed Reinhold, phenomenal restaurateur. He runs the business. That's the only
What's the name of the restaurant?
It's called Iceberg Drive-In, and okay. there's maybe 22 of them.
Wow.
They're like a, it's a burger franchise. It's shakes. It's made for its shakes. We're building, in fact, 2 new facilities out of Salt Lake City right now. But it was about the person. I invest in people. The lawyers that work for my law firm, it's about the lawyers. I have the best lawyers, best partners. That's what it's about. Otherwise, I don't have the time to spread myself out. Yeah. So I just deal with a few of the top people in my businesses, in the radio. I have 2 key people that run the radio stations. That's all I need.
Yeah.
So find yourselves key people. Pay them well, by the way. You have to pay them well. And you're going to succeed. It's better to have a little bit less and pay your people more. Oh my gosh, they're going to ask for raises. I hope they're not listening.
I hope my employees aren't listening. Like, this is awkward. Okay.
But then it's exactly right. Sorry, but take
yeah,
that reverse.
Edit that, Jeff. Will you?
Edit that one, please. But anyway, you have to do well for them, and, yeah. and they'll help you out, and that's what I do.
Well, I mean, you had some other successes beyond these. Sunsplash, right?
Yeah.
To give us a name drop, if you will, of some of the other things that you have been involved in and are involved in, because it's so much.
Yeah, here's my lawyer's spiel. I own nothing. I only own the law firm. It is owned by other companies. And by the way, it's really important to get a good lawyer to set up your companies properly, because I technically own nothing other than the law firm. But I have started these companies, if you know what I mean. I'm the founders of the companies. And then I push them off into other ownership. But Sunsplash started by my wife's family in 1952. There's 9 or 10 of them.
Wow.
And they're based out of Arizona. In fact, I'm the one that's helped. We're the lawyers for Sunsplash. And that's how I wanted to become a lawyer, to defend ourselves, because we get sued all the time.
Yeah.
And then guess what? I flipped and became a personal injury lawyer on the same side that I didn't like people suing us. And so, but we.
How does that work?
Well,
out?
It works great.
How do you justify that in your mind?
Hey, it works great. You know, I'm doing both sides. So we defend water parks, our water parks, and then we do the plaintiff side. The people who are injured. So I don't know. I just 27, 28 years the firm's been going, and I love plaintiffs' work, but I love to defend. So all our lawyers are almost all are former insurance company head trial lawyers, and that's how I built the practice. They're superstar trial lawyers, and so we do pretty well because of that. I think we have. I mean, we might have 1,000 cases in California right now running about, round numbers. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. So doing really
but
well.
But we do. But Sunsplash is a great opportunity. The family said, why would we ever build in Roseville? Because there's 6 family members that sit on the board. They thought Roseville's crazy. So I said, all right. By the way, it's the number one park now.
Well, it's a great park.
Number one park.
You and I are the same age. You went to Delaware High School. I went to Oakmont. We've talked about that. I think I played freshman basketball. You're a basketball guy, so I probably played against you 1 year. Did you play baseball as well?
I played basketball only.
Okay, so I played baseball and football as well. And you know, Delaware was always tough. Oakmont was we were good
back
golf.
In those days.
We were all right. But you know, we know a lot of the same people, which is interesting how things come full circle, even in a town that we live in here. You know, we come back full circle. We've got a couple million people in this little town that we love, but it kind of comes back full circle.
And Mark, they thought you and I probably would have been in jail, didn't they?
Yeah.
You go back and the teachers go, he's doing what? Did he make it through grammar school?
I was voted most likely to be a bum. It was mostly my ex-girlfriend's voting, but
That's
was really, it was one of those kind
and your
of
friends.
Scenarios. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so just closing thoughts. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're trying to round out this life, right? Wife that is ambitious in the world of traveling and chasing her dreams. You're rounding out the dreams and the business side, and you have the family legacy. Advice to those up and comers as they begin to think about what it's going to look like when they begin to have some success.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So George and I had dinner last night together, and we said the same thing.
George Foreman,
George Foreman Jr., mm-hmm. sorry. I tell you right now, and I've spoken at a number of different high schools, and they always ask, how was it you made it? And one kid one time said, how's it my dad can't make it, and you did. And I turned to him and kind of said nicely, I got off the ground more than your dad did, probably. So the key is I get off the ground all the time, Mark. When you are an entrepreneur, you're going to get knocked down. And you have a good family support. My wife's a great support. My kids are a great support to me. That's the key, is having a good support system. Love your family. Like George Jr. said, that's the most important thing. But you're going to get knocked down. So get back up. And I just say the same thing. I got up more than the next guy. That's the only difference between me and anybody else. So that's it.
Fred Penny, keep on getting up off the mat. You got to do that. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, making us all think about that dichotomy or that paradox. Is it more lifestyle? Is it more legacy? How do we attack our life? Coming up after the break, we will meet Luke Smith, general manager of Audi Rockland. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland and DCA Capital. This is the Mark Haney Show.
We are back with your entrepreneurial weekend wake-up call. It's Mark Haney time. And welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us has something special inside. And Mark Haney has a knack for helping us see the greatness we have inside. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of being joined by Luke Smith. He is the general manager of Audi Rockland. How you doing, Luke?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, you bet. Well, last time you were on the show, you were tired. I remember, I think you had just had the birth of your daughter. How you feeling today?
A lot better. Tired would be an improvement from last time. It was brutal.
Okay, well, how is that? Yeah, you're here in Sacramento. You've transplanted from the Bay Area. You guys have all these operations in the Bay Area. Transplanted here to Sacramento to launch Audi Rockland. That's tiring in and of itself.
It is, you know, but it's a lot different than waking up 6 or 7 times a night with the baby. So
How do you juggle that, right? Because the responsibility of all those teams at Audi Rockland, obviously the family, young family, and getting settled in. How do you juggle it all?
It's a support staff, and that's at home too. Wife's amazing. I got to give her credit. You can't do it without a support staff behind you. You can't say behind you. Next to you at home, next to you at work. It really is a team effort. There's not one person that does it by himself anywhere. Everybody's got a team. You got a team. We all got a team. That's what gets it done.
Well, I want to talk about your team in a second, but let's talk about Audi Rockland overall. Describe to us, what is Audi Rockland and what's it feel like when you walk in to an Audi Rockland dealership, to the Audi Rockland dealership?
You know, it's our goal to be a little bit different. We've all purchased vehicles or acquired cars. Mr. Penny gets Bentleys. Obviously, you need to open a Bentley store. but the problem is you walk into a store, and typically there's a bit of a tension. There's a thought process that goes behind it. Here I go. Our goal is to take that away. You're buying a luxury vehicle, right? You've done something great in your life to be able to acquire an Audi. So when you walk into the store, it's warm, it's inviting, it's transparent. So much so, there's not even a door in the offices. Everything's made of glass. So there's no hidden characters in the back. Everything's right there in front of you. So the idea is, you walk in there, you know what you're getting. There's no surprises. You actually enjoy spending money. You leave with the car what you're happy with, and you're stoked. You're telling people. So that's the goal. You know, that's what it's supposed to be like.
Well, we have bought two mm-hmm. Audis. My wife has a Q7 and another one. I'm not sure what model it is. I think it's Q3. And she loves it, and we bought them both from you guys. And the experience was really second to none. You guys delivered vehicles to us. It's so much different than the ordinary car-buying experience. And you brought up your team a second ago, right? It's all about the support system and the team. Describe that team.
You know, it's, we're starting to get established. 2 years here now, 2 years and a month. So we're starting to kind of get it cemented into the community a little bit. I've got some people that I got a guy that is, he has a great line. He goes, "I'm not a hunter, I'm a farmer." I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I'm not trying to just sell a car now. I'm going to farm a relationship with these customers, and I'm going to be their guy forever." Yeah. Right? Everybody wants a guy. If I ask you, you probably got a tile guy, a concrete guy.
Yeah.
You know, so their goal, I got a couple of people, their whole goal is to be people's car guys.
Yes.
So when you think about a new car,
I know a guy.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a different environment. It's not about now, it's about the next car, the next car, the next car.
All about the relationship. That's that's the difference between the customer and the contract, right? Is that relationship. You've got to have that. So your teammates, you've got the sales team, obviously differentiated. Then you've got teams in other areas of the business. You've got, you know, obviously we want cars that are easy to maintain, that last a long time, so the resale value is there. Talk to us about that service and maintenance team.
Well, there's another saying, it's sales sells them, service retains them, right? Service keeps the customer. So we've got a great service department. You guys have been there. We've seen you guys pulled up. It's open, easy. Same again, transparent. There isn't anybody hiding anywhere. You see everybody in the store when you walk or drive into that place. Same process. You should be greeted for somebody. They'll take the car for me. In and out, loaner car. It's just, it needs to be easy, right? We live in an instantaneous era, so everything has to be quick, easy, transparent, fun. Again, it is nice having the same people at the store from the beginning. So
yeah,
it's repetition,
experience.
Same people.
Yeah, you bet. Other areas of the team that are key in our car buying experience?
Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. So you call in, the person answers the phone, has to be on point. The person in the back cleaning the car up has to do a good job, has to be on point. The person wrenching on the view, everybody has to be on point. There's not one person that holds a higher station in the other. Yeah. They're all important. I mean, it really is everybody.
Yeah, and you guys are an entrepreneurial company. Your ownership, I mean, that's where you think about these philosophies of running businesses, like the way Audi Rockland is run. Where do these philosophies, where are they rooted?
Well, it is top down. It's always been like that. You know, and Fred says something about paying your people. You have to have good people. You have to have respect for people. And you have to have belief that the people that you work for or you work with care about you. You know, and that's kind of how, we're 5-6 luxury stores now. I mean, multiple Mercedes-Benz stores, Smart, Audi. There's not a doubt in anybody's head that we're all on the same page, that we're all the same goal in mind. It's a comfortable environment, and so that makes a big difference.
So if I'm a guy that says, "Hey, look, you know what? I've got two Audis. I want to get some other brand of vehicle. Obviously, Audi's the go-to here at Rockland Audi. But you're my car guy, right? You are my car guy. Can I call you if I just want to ask a question about cars in general? Or call one of your teammates?
Absolutely, you're supposed to. We're your person for everything. You need a truck. I don't sell trucks, right? I don't have a brand new Dodge, whatever it may be. I may know somebody who does. We may have a pre-owned one that just took in. We should always be the point of contact for everything.
All right. Okay, so thinking about your cars, Audi Rockland. We've got a couple of Audis. I don't know that we're in a market right away for another new car. Hopefully my wife is not. but anyway, thinking about that, okay, what does the lineup look like? Because some of the cars over there rival the fastest, coolest sports cars in the world, and others are more for the maybe mid-level, I was not an entry-level vehicle, but like the lower end. Maybe that's not the best way to put it.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no, we don't say base. We don't say lower end.
Okay. What's the way to put it? You know, the least expensive Audi is a what?
Probably an A3, an entry-level vehicle. You know, it's we have vehicles for everybody. We really do. You have pre-owned vehicles for people who are still in school at Sierra College. We've got the R8s, which are the couple $100,000 sports cars. Audi's now got a full electric vehicle coming out this spring. Come see us for those.
Okay.
This would be pretty amazing. Full-size SUV, roughly 300 miles, four-wheel drive, towing capacity, all electric. So we've got that whole process, that whole lineup coming up pretty soon. Their goal is to literally have a car for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost there.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we're talking to entrepreneurs. As entrepreneurs, it's our job to make the molecules move. It's our job to get stuff sold, right? We have to. Nothing happens unless we drive some revenue. But you know, the question of price comes up. The question of value comes up. When training a sales force, how do you come together with these with people come in that think it's about price? A customer might come in thinking something is about price, and yet it's your job to or our job as entrepreneurs to really explain how the value is there, what the value proposition is.
You know, it's actually not that difficult. If I was to tell you that a Honda Civic, I'll sell it to you for $30,000, that's not a good price. It's not a good value.
Okay.
I think it's Honda Civic, but that's much above what they sell for. If I was to tell you that same $30,000 to sell you an R8, that's a great value. Number's the same.
Yeah.
It's what you're getting. It's the value of the car. It's the difference. So it's not about – it typically isn't really about price. It's about perceived value. It's about listening to the customers, finding what's important for them, really what they're driving now, what they're looking to get into. If you do that right, that whole pricing doesn't really come up. You know?
Well, I remember my brother and I driving. You talk about lifestyle and legacy, and when is it time to go out and spend the money? When is it time to stay conservative? As we were building our companies, my brother had a Ford Escort, and I went out and bought a Lexus. I'm going back like 25 years mm-hmm. ago, and I went out and splurged on the brand new vehicle, yet he was more conservative. Any thoughts about that dichotomy, is how much to be conservative and do when your clients come in, are they more on the conservative side, and how much just to go for it? Because there's something about giving that impression of success to your teammates and to the community. Hey, when you pull out in a Audi Rockland, you know, it's like, hey, I've kind of arrived.
I think it depends what you're doing for work.
Okay.
Right? If you're a real estate agent and you pull up in the Ford Escort, that's Ford Escorts.
Awkward, yeah.
It's you're as a buyer, you might be a little apprehensive.
Okay.
You know, if you're a financial advisor and you're it depends. So it really depends what you're doing in this world.
Okay.
It depends what you're comfortable with. And again, you have to get out every single day, start the car and drive it. You have to pay that bill. It's up to you, right? You have to be comfortable with what it is. You know, that's why we've got cars for everybody. Mm-hmm. But it really, I think it's an image thing. A lot of this, nobody needs an Audi.
Yeah.
Nobody needs a car. I mean, most places don't need a car anymore.
Yeah.
It's about want. You know, so you have to really want it. You have to really want to be in it.
Well, okay, let's talk about the cars for one more second. So people like to customize their cars. What's mm-hmm. the craziest thing? If I'm one of those entrepreneurs, let's say I'm Fred Penny, I can buy whatever car I want. How would somebody, what would somebody order and how might they trick it out? Is there any customization that's like crazy off the charts?
I mean, I've seen people spend $15,000 on pearlized wraps on their vehicles, wrap their cars and things. These rims have gotten crazy nowadays.
Yeah.
We specialize in interior and leathers. It could get pretty extravagant. We don't play too much in that. You know,
okay.
I'm not a custom shop.
Yeah.
But I've seen some pretty wild cars come into that service drive.
Love it. Any closing thoughts as we think about like what automobile we ought to have? We know it's an Audi. We know it's from Rockland Audi. But closing thoughts about how to do business with Audi Rockland. I always tell people, come on over, visit me. I'm right across the street. On Granite Drive in Rockland. Come over with me. Let's have a couple cold beverages. I'll take you over to my good buddy Luke Smith, and we'll get you fixed up with an Audi. Besides coming over to visit me, any thoughts on how to best interact with Audi Rockland, how to get a car today?
You know, we've gone full circle. It's no longer, you don't have to actually go to the store.
Okay.
Everything's on website, online. You can go to a website at iRockland.com. You can select the car. You can find out the payments for the lease, purchase, the price. We give you everything. There's no reason to hide anything. So it's fully transparent. You can call us, say, hey, this is the car I want. Bring it over. We've done that. You don't have to. You don't have to walk in over anymore. You know, we're busy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're busy. We're a services business, so you know, you don't have to come in.
Yeah. Come visit me. We are having an event every once in a while. We'll have an event under here over here, an Entrepreneurs Unleashed event, and Luke will bring over a mm-hmm. bunch of cars and let the entrepreneurs of Sacramento sit in them and dream about you know, when they're properly successful and have earned an Audi Rockland to jump over and get one from him. Thank you, Luke, for the support of the entrepreneurial community. Thanks for joining us on
Absolutely.
The show today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When we return, I will be joined by Eddie Medeiros and Steve Jackson. They are the brother-in-laws behind The Boathouse. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Chicago Fire and Apex Appraisal Services. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to your entrepreneurial wake-up call. Mark Haney is living proof that nobody goes through life undefeated. His failures have defined his philosophies. His successes have defined his mantras. And through his stories, we are awakened to our own true potential. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by Eddie Medeiros and Steve Jackson. They are the brothers-in-law that own a company called The Boathouse, Boats and Bros. Eddie, talk to us about this relationship and this business that you have created.
Oh, thanks, Mark. So happy to be on the show. And so it just it started off as a dream. Ever since I was a kid, my dad, he was a truck driver, so he worked a lot, but we always had a boat. The family had a boat. We didn't go to Disneyland. We didn't do a lot of crazy vacations, but we always had a boat.
Get out on the water.
Yeah, so that's really the seed that sprouted this years later was just my love for boats and the confidence that it built in me. I think that has a lot to do with our drive and ambition in entrepreneurship was, the first time I got up skiing was like, wow, I could really do this. And then you practice more and you get better at it. And you're like, well, what's the next big thing you can do? And wakeboarding, I could do that. Then my dad at 12 said, hey, you want to drive the boat? No, you know, I don't know. That's risky. Well, you know, hey, then I could do that. So I think that's what led to us opening up a used boat dealership about 11 months ago.
The love of boats. You talk about taking a risk out there on the water. What made you choose this business partner? Choosing the right business partner is a huge decision. There is some risk in the way we choose our business partners.
Yeah, so, it wasn't because he was my family. And I mean that as a compliment to Steve. So when I looked at bringing someone on, there was two factors. I needed convenience, which he brought because his schedule and his property allowed us to build the startup. And then secondly, it's personality. He is actually probably the opposite personality of me.
Very complimentary.
Yeah, I think it really helps out a lot. Yeah.
Okay,
the
Steve,
yin and the yang.
Yeah,
here.
Talk to us about that. The yin yang. How would you describe the difference between you and Eddie?
Eddie's definitely a type A personality. He's very excitable and very very energetic. Uh-huh. I feel like I am a little bit more mellow and I can take my time a little bit easier.
The calming influence.
Yeah, you know, and I think it really helps, especially when you're dealing with used boats. There's a lot of things that come up and customer issues and things with the boats. So I think that we help each other. You know, he helps keep me on task sometimes because sometimes I get real relaxed and mellow and it's going to be fine. But, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of that. So I think the combination of us really help us kind of run that together.
Who came up with the name, Steve?
I think Eddie did, right?
I did.
How'd you write that name? The Boathouse. Very simple, but your logo is like, it's cool.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. One of our favorite spots to go is Tahoe.
Yes.
And when you go in Tahoe, you see some of these gorgeous boathouses, and inside of them are equally gorgeous boats, sometimes some beautiful cobalts and stuff. And so we wanted to associate our dealership with more of a high-end, protected, trusting, lasting, you know, it just vibe. And so when we saw these boathouses, we think how beautiful Tahoe is, we just thought, you know what? If someone wants to buy a boat, they're going to want to buy it at the boathouse.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so Steve, how do you guys break up the responsibilities? I see the difference in the personalities, but who does what around the boathouse?
You know, we started off, Eddie does a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the business aspect of it, where initially I was doing a lot of the mechanical side, repairs, maintenance, all that stuff, as well as we were storing some of the boats on my property, as well as other places. But I think as we've been growing, we've been starting to outsource a lot of that. So now Eddie and I are kind of doing the same thing where, you know, we're looking for the boats, we're picking up boats, we're dropping boats off, selling boats. But now we've kind of started to create a little bit of a team where we're outsourcing all the other things because it just took so much time to, you know, detail boats, do maintenance on boats, do all these things. So I think we're kind of doing the same thing now. We're working on just kind of establishing a team to where you could pick up a boat, drop it off at three places, and then it's ready for resale.
Well, Eddie, you were wearing your hanging or banging shirt the other day. You posted something out on Facebook because you and I are buddies. You're now in the Entrepreneurs Organization. But, I mean, when we're hanging, we're in our downtime. To me, that's like a cold drink out in the middle of the lake. But when we're banging, we're at our very best opportunity. But thinking about you, you own a farmer's insurance agency. You own other insurance businesses and the boathouse. How do you divide your time? What's banging look like for a guy like Eddie Medeiros?
Oh, man, that's always a challenge. You know, you evaluate where you're spending your hours and, you know, can you delegate some of those things? And, you know, having Steve is probably the only way that the boathouse works because when I'm on with the insurance, you know, companies, he is taking over the boathouse responsibilities. And so we pass that ball back and forth a lot and heavy texting. heavy texting.
I love it. So what's the craziest thing he might text you? Like, what's like when everything hits the fan and it's Eddie's text?
So Eddie's hours operate from like 6 o'clock in the morning till about midnight.
Yep.
And
those are acceptable texting times in my world.
That's entrepreneurship.
I'm married to Eddie's sister. And she does not like it very much because, you know, at the end of the day, we're like, I'm in bed because, you know, you know, if I'm having to go to work next day or whatever, Eddie will text me at 11:30, like, Steve, did you see this boat? What do you think about this boat? Should we? I'm like, it's 11:30. We're not going to call these people right now to buy this boat. This could wait till the morning. But
that kind of shows a passion, right? Thinking about that, when people are, I mean, I think that's what entrepreneurship is about. We're so passionate about helping our customers. We're so passionate about chasing these opportunities. We can't shut it off at times. Are you that way as well, or is that just Eddie?
Yeah, I think that we both. I mean, we'll send each other some days and. And at my regular job, I actually have some downtime to where I'll shoot Eddie probably like 15 different boats. Like, hey, do you like this one? What do you think about this? I've been talking to this guy. What do you think about this? And we'll just kind of shoot back and forth. But I think it's that, like, being aggressive that helps us find the boats that we're looking for and bring them up here to Placer County.
So you guys are young guys, and you guys are obviously having a tremendous amount of success. But, I mean, the future looks extremely bright. How do you decide? We're talking about lifestyle or legacy, right? How much of your focus is on building that lifestyle for that family, and how much of it, and, you know, just putting having toys, cool toys for yourself? How much is in on that front, and how much is about really what this thing can become for the future and, you know, your legacy?
So, you know, I can't take any credit, and I don't think any entrepreneur out there for the most part could take credit for the successes if they didn't acknowledge and honor maybe it was a father or a grandfather or a friend or someone else that believed in them earlier on that paved the way. And for us, it's my grandfather who came to this country as an immigrant with nothing. And I don't even think he's passed away now, but he didn't get to see the entrepreneurial seed take some fruit. But so in terms of legacy, you know, that's what we're trying to build. We both have kids, and we want to not only show them what we're doing, so more is caught than taught, right? And so we want them to see what we're doing. We want them to see that we're taking risks. But more importantly, we want them to see how we're treating our clients. And how we treat other people, and then how we give back to our community. And that's a responsibility that we're very committed to. And so that significance of leaving that legacy is really what drives us. In terms of lifestyle, that again goes back to my grandfather, the hard work that he did, you know, sacrificing everything so that we could have a leg up. We have a pretty good lifestyle. We both have beautiful homes, beautiful families. You know, we got pools and we got boats.
So life is pretty good.
Yeah, we're using our boats all the time. You know, and I don't think at the moment improving our lifestyle is a huge, you know, goal for us. It's more of giving back to our community right now. And building out the company to see where this could go.
Eddie, you're part of your grandfather's legacy. What would you say to your grandfather if he was sitting right here with us right now?
Well, he'd be mad at me because I'd have to say it in Portuguese, and I don't know anymore.
You haven't Portuguese. Been studying that Portuguese, huh?
No, I would just, of course, I would thank him and tell him it was worth it. Everything that he ever did was worth it.
Awesome. Eddie, Steve, thank you guys for joining us on the show today. Congratulations on the success of the Boathouse and everything else that you're doing. I love that I have my entrepreneurial brothers right here with me today. When we return, Marks and I will talk about our takeaways, our closing thoughts about lifestyle, about legacy. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors, Stiefel Financial. This is... So young, here
we go. We are back with Mark Haney, the man whose mission statement is tattooed to his soul. With future generations in mind, he will create opportunity for his family, for his friends, and for his community. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. We've been talking lifestyle, legacy, and, you know, I was thinking about the newsletter. I'd asked a question about over-celebrating, right? When is the time? You know, I've been accused of not celebrating the small wins, which I don't. I sometimes don't sit there and get all excited when we have a small victory. But I should. I know when you're building a team, Marcus, it's important to think about the small victories because they're important to recognize along the way. And how do these small wins tie to the overarching picture of buying some cool toys and the legacy that we're trying to build for our family? Back here with Marcus Haney. Marcus, thoughts about today's show?
Well, first off, Fred Penny, best quote I think we've had on the show. He talked about instead of going and getting a radio ad, he decided to go buy the radio station.
Yeah,
and like, that's what I want
to
be.
What a
good
position to be in.
That's
huh?
FU money. All right, I want a little bit of that. So that you know that size 4 you were talking about. I think that it's got a little bit bigger now. So I'm going to chase Fred Penny too.
Well,
along
I think
the way.
It's interesting because there's so many of us that we earn our first dollar and we want to go spend it on a toy. You know, we want
right.
to you make a
get
money
your
out of your newspaper route and you want to go blow your money. And buy stuff. But, you know, if you're Fred Penny, you decided, you know what, I'm going to wait.
Yes.
I'm going to save. I am going to accumulate some money and then go out and invest. And, you know what, it's obviously worked out pretty well for him. He now has a lot of choices in his life. And I think that's what it's about is choices. The choice to celebrate, the choice to buy toys if you want to, or the choice to work on your legacy in the future and the generations that come later behind the come later in life. And thinking about our business around here, one of our businesses, SSI, Surveillance Systems, Inc., I alluded to them earlier. We do all the casinos around the country. We do the video surveillance. And these guys have a practice of celebrating the wins, right? They ring the bell and they do a little touchdown dance after they have, you know, a big sale,
right.
a big opportunity. They do find a way to celebrate the victories along the way. But I think for me, it's not my personality, but I surround myself with people who like to celebrate along the way.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I was listening to a book recently, and they talked about putting a scoreboard up in your office for your salespeople, right? So does that give you some internal intensity with amongst your people to compete for that top spot? I think it does a little bit, and I think that it has that opportunity to also give the credit and gratitude to those people that are at the top of the leaderboard when necessary.
Interesting stuff. We actually had a scoreboard in the crowd rang in my old company, and we've brought that to SSI, to some of the companies we have here, but we've got to continue to build a culture that celebrates the small wins while not forgetting that we're trying to build something and we have to reinvest. We can't spend all our time celebrating. Somebody's got to pay for the party.
It's
right?
One step
somebody,
in the wrong.
Yeah, we have to save the parade for the payday, right? It's not like we can throw these parties all the time. We have to go out there and raise money from our customers. And I think that that's the key to winning is finding that combination, that balance, I suppose, and when to celebrate and when not to. It makes me think about, you know, how we coached kids. You're coaching Hunter Knight right now in Little League. And, you know, a little kid is just happy when he gets on first base, right?
Yes.
I made it to first base. I'm jumping up and down. You're celebrating. You're excited. But if you're spending all your time jumping up and down, looking at the stands, waving at mom and dad, you don't figure out a way to get to second base and
Absolutely.
Third base and circle all the bases because really until until you score runs, until you win games, you'll never win championships.
And nothing matters.
Yeah. So it's amazing how we learn these things as little kids. Over celebrating for something small time is can be counterproductive. So just a great show today, Marcus. I loved it. I think about everybody out there who is chasing their dream and that challenge, that that internal struggle that we have. When to take that money and buy a toy? When to take that money and go on a vacation? And I like the attitude of earn our vacation, right? Go out, make a little money, and take a little bit and go on that vacation. But don't go out spending our time on vacation if we haven't earned it yet. So anyway, just a special thanks to all the leaders of Hometown Patriotism. Sacramento salute to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, our way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to that crazy entrepreneurial lifestyle, and to that lasting family legacy that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.